pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And it's time once again for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast. Gary Hill back with you. It's going to be a jammed full podcast. This week is already shaping up to be a great week. There's going to be a lot of outstanding stuff coming your way on the podcast. It could be, I don't want to make a huge proclamation here, but it could be the greatest week in podcast history. That's how good I think this week is going to be. Of course, the weekend was crazy. The Mariners take 2 of 3 from the Houston Astros. We'll quickly review those three games, including some history that was made by the M's over the weekend, so we'll get to that. Of course, as you probably know by now, Edgar Martinez, legendary Mariner, Mariner Hall of Famer Edgar Martinez has been named the hitting coach for the Seattle Mariners, going into effect on Saturday. We have a lot of Edgar stuff coming your way. Not today, but probably tomorrow. Mike Blauer sat down, had a long, involved conversation with Edgar Martinez about hitting. It is fabulous, and it's coming your way on the podcast. Again, not today, probably tomorrow. We do have some Edgar stuff today. Mike Blauer's will touch on Edgar Martinez becoming the hitting coach. We'll get reaction from Willie Bloomquist. You'll hear from Jack Sorensic. Also, Lloyd McClendon on the move. Edgar Martinez being the hitting coach, but we'll have more as the week goes on Edgar becoming the hitting coach for the Seattle Mariners. And it was great during the game to look in there and see Edgar Martinez on the top rail, back in uniform again, back in the dugout again. Edgar Martinez is the hitting coach. If you follow me on Instagram, at Gary Hill Jr., I tweeted out a couple of pictures from Edgar over the weekend. One was before the game, just, you know, by the cage, going to work right away. And he was there going to work with Mike Zunino, which was a great sight to see. And then I posted one picture of just him on the top rail in the dugout, which was quite a sight, watching the ball game. So Edgar Martinez back in a Mariners uniform as the hitting coach. So we'll get to that in a second. It is Monday. You know what that means. It's bullpen banter time and more singing. This is a good one. Charlie Furbush with Chef Jeremy. So that comes up. Also, the week that was, the Force Edition, that comes your way as well. So a lot to get to in this one, so let's dive right into it. The Mariners taking on the Houston Astros over the weekend. Three-game series, a big three-game set. Struggled last weekend against the Astros. Houston took 2 of 3. The Mariners looking up at the Astros, the top of the AL West, looking to gain some ground this weekend. And Friday night was an excellent night for Mariners baseball as Reynis Elias, well, he was outstanding.
Elias ready, the windup, and again the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss at a breaking ball, strike three. That's 12 in a row. Retired by Elias, and it's strikeout number 7. And Elias continues to set down the Houston Astros since that top of the first inning.
The 1-2 pitch from Elias. Breaking ball. Swung on and missed. Strikeout number 10. Reynis Elias with a beautiful curveball to get Santana. Struck him out for the second time.
The first pitch of the game from Elias was a home run. His last pitch of the game was a home run. In between, he was dynamite. 7 innings, 4 hits. Those 2 runs, that's it. No walks and 10 strikeouts. Solo home runs, that was the big key. And the Mariners, great day offensively. They put 5 runs on the board, which was plenty to get the win behind Elias. But you like some of the things that happened in between, like just simple ground balls to get the runs home.
The 1-2 again, and swing and a ground ball right side. Gonzalez off to his left. He's got it. A look at second, and the throw will go to first base to get Trumbo. And here comes Cruz on to score from third. So another run batted in on an infield out by Mark Trumbo, his third RBI tonight.
Mariners played some simple baseball. Get them in. That was the philosophy. Trumbo drives in three, two of them on infield grounders, and had a single to drive in a run as well. He had a great night. The middle of the order, outstanding. Cano, 3 for 4. Two runs scored. He reached four times. Cruz reached four times, going 2 for 2. He also walked a couple of times. Outstanding night for Cano, Cruz, everybody getting involved. Trumbo as well. Elias, he gets the win for the M's. He goes 7 innings. The bullpen lights out. Low. Wow. He was throwing gas. His ERA is 0.87. He pitched a clean inning, fending two. Carson Smith locked down his fourth save, just throwing jagged baseballs up there. 11-pitch inning. Strikes out one, and Mariners claim game one of the series. And it was picture-perfect, formula baseball. Starting pitching, bullpen, defense, offense. It was all there for the Mariners in game one of the series. The question is, how would they follow it up? Because game two, a difficult matchup. We know Taijuan Walker's been pitching well, but Dallas Keuchel has been one of the best pitchers in the American League this season. Came in with the second-best ERA in the American League, 2.04 coming in. He has crushed lefties all season. He's a control freak, although a freak inning in the second, really a stunning inning in the second inning for the Mariners.
Runners their leads. Here's the pitch on the way, and it's high and outside. Ball four. Back-to-back walks with the bases loaded. Jackson with a free pass. That will force in Logan Morrison. And the Mariners have tied the game at 2-2. And that's the fourth walk given up by Dallas Keuchel here in the bottom half of the second. How about that?
Pretty crazy. Dallas Keuchel, a control specialist, walked four in the inning. The Mariners get two runs. He hadn't walked four in a game since June 22nd of last year, a full calendar year. He hadn't walked more than three in any game, and there he is walking four in the second inning. It was really some good at-bats in the frame by the Mariners. They made Keuchel work. They put two on the board. They draw four walks. Just a great, great inning for the M's. And then it's just one thing after another with Keuchel. Then the Mariners start playing long ball against Dallas Keuchel, which is easier said than done.
With Seattle, here's a swing and a drive deep to straightaway center field. Rasmus going back, looking up. Goodbye, baseball! Seth Smith with his sixth home run of the year. Straightaway center. Mariners' second home run of the night. Holy smokes, and it's now the Mariners 4 and the Astros 2. How about that?
Okay, a couple of things about that. First, that was Seth Smith going yard, the first lefty to take Keuchel deep this season. He hasn't had a home run from a lefty since Ryan Howard of last August. Lefties have barely hit him at all. Lefties only came in with 9 hits against Keuchel on the season coming in. The average was low, just a couple of extra base hits, just a couple of doubles, that was it. And the Mariners come through with three hits from lefties, including the home run by Seth Smith. And what also is remarkable, the Mariners, they take him deep 3 times, which is easier said than done. Keuchel does not give up home runs, in bunches. First 3-homer game against Dallas Keuchel since July 27th, 2013. Not July 27th last year, 2013. Only his second multi-home run game since then. So only twice has he given up multi-home runs since middle of the season, 2013. One of them, the Mariners on Saturday. A nice win for the M's, and a big part of it, Taijuan Walker. Oh, man, he was dealing.
Pitch from Walker. Fastball swung on a miss. Struck him out. Double-figure strikeouts for Taijuan. He's got 10, adding to his career best. 2 outs here in the sixth.
Yeah, he blew by his career high. It was 8 coming in. He'd done it 3 times, 2 times against the Astros, funny enough, and he would add one more to his career high.
Here, next pitch in there for a called strike 3. Taijuan Walker with his 11th strikeout. One out here in the seventh. So that split change, very effective, and it gets Carter looking for the first out. Career best, 11 strikeouts.
Yeah, 11 strikeouts for Taijuan Walker, a career best. He ends up leaving in the seventh inning, not too happy about it. He wanted to stay on the mound, which was great to see. He was throwing some serious gas. 94 pitches, 6 and a third inning, 3 earned runs, no walks, and 11 strikeouts. And makes a little history along with Roenis Elias, which I find pretty amazing. The first time in Mariners history they've had back-to-back starts with 10-plus strikeouts and zero walks. Elias fans 10, doesn't walk anybody. Walker fans 11, doesn't walk anybody. Very impressive night. First time in Mariners history. I went back the last 15 years since the year 2000 and all of baseball, and it's only happened twice before the Mariners just did it. Last year, Tampa Bay, Cobb did it the 23rd, and then he struck out 10 in 7 innings, and then a day off, and then the 25th, David Price did it. He struck out 10 in 8 innings and didn't walk anybody. Previous to that, it was done in 2012, Giants against the Astros, and this is pretty interesting. Madison Bumgarner did it on the 12th of June. He struck out 12 in 7 2/3 innings, and then the next day is when Matt Cain threw his perfect game. Struck out 14, throwing the perfecto against Houston. But there were no other cases at all up until 2000. I really wanted to go previous to 2000, but the research took so long, I couldn't go before the year 2000. But that's 15 years, so it gives you a good idea. It doesn't happen a lot, I know that. And Aaron Goldsmith and I were talking about this, too. Yeah, Keuchel hadn't given up a home run to the Mariners. He'd only given up one homer to the Mariners in his career. That was to Raul Ibanez. Between then and the three the Mariners just hit, he threw about 700 pitches, giving up that one home run to the Mariners, which is amazing. I mean, it was an amazing day on a lot of different levels as the Mariners get the win on Saturday. They beat Dallas Keuchel and get the victory. So they took the series on Saturday. Remarkable. They beat Bumgarner and Keuchel, two of the best lefties in the game, just a handful of days apart. They're also a nice run. They've taken out Kluber and Archer. And oh, there's been some good pitchers as of late the Mariners have knocked down. But that was a solid win on Saturday to get the series. Unfortunately, on Sunday, the Mariners not able to complete the sweep. It looked like they had a big opportunity in the first inning. They scored a run. They had the bases loaded. The starter on the ropes, he ends up throwing 43 pitches in the first, but he punches out Miller to end the inning. Mariners some chances along the way. Defense let him down during the ball game as well. Happ able to fight Houston off at times, but they got him for a couple of runs. And they end up taking the game 6-2. So the Mariners don't get the sweep, but they do get the series. And I'm looking forward to the series starting tonight. The Mariners taking on the defending American League champion Kansas City Royals as they roll to town. They were beaten pretty severely by the Red Sox yesterday. Chris Young, former Mariner who's pitched so well for them, gave up 7 runs as he was obliterated. Kansas City has struggled with injuries in the rotation, so it's really interesting to see the three guys the Mariners are going to face. I like the pitching matchups for the Mariners in this one. First of all, you got to like the first one. Felix Hernandez will take the mound. You like this pitching matchup no matter what. The King is on the hill. Happy Felix Day as the Mariners will send Felix Hernandez to the hill today. At Safeco Field, Kings Court will be in session. Should be a fun night at Safeco Field. He's going to take on a familiar face, although many of you probably don't realize he's still pitching in the big leagues. Joe Blanton will take the mound. Joe Blanton has faced the Mariners many, many times. In fact, the very first time he faced the Mariners, a couple of things you should know about that game. Jamie Moyer started for the M's that day. Dan Wilson was his battery mate, the starting catcher. Brett Boone had 3 hits in that ball game for the Mariners, also walked twice, so he reached 5 times. Adrian Beltre played third base for the M's, and Willie Bloomquist was on the team. He pinch ran for Richie Sexson late in the ballgame. So that's the first time that Joe Blanton faced the Seattle Mariners. Now, Blanton pitched pretty well against the M's early in his career in the Oakland days. He was a big foe of the M's. But in recent times, the Mariners have had better luck against Blanton. Now, Blanton didn't pitch at all in the big leagues last year. Last time we saw him in the majors, 2013, and it was a rough stretch with the Angels. He was 2-14 with a 6.04 ERA. Now, this year, he's been used primarily out of the bullpen. He's been shifted to the rotation now because of some injuries, but he's given Kansas City some pretty good innings, 20 in all, 19 hits. He's just walked three, and he's fanned 17, a 1.80 ERA. Now, his one start came his last time out against the Brewers. He went five innings, only gave up one run. The offense was on. They put 10 runs on the board, and they beat the Brew Crew 10-2 that day. So Blanton wins his first start of the season. So the last couple of times Blanton has seen the M's, 2013 and three starts, a 4.86 ERA. And then Jeremy Guthrie will go for Kansas City the game after that. Danny Duffy will be activated from the DL to take the start on Wednesday. Mike Montgomery going to face his former organization, which is pretty interesting. He'll take the mound against KC. And then Roenis Elias will take the mound the final game of the series on Wednesday. So Felix versus Blanton, Montgomery against Guthrie, and then Elias versus Duffy. Not going to be an easy series. Kansas City, obviously a good team. I mean, right now, 39-27 in first place in the AL Central. They're 3.5 up on the Minnesota Twins. A run differential of plus 50 for Kansas City. 6-4 in their last 10 ball games. But you look at the pitching matchups specifically, and the Mariners have some advantages in the starting rotation. Now, can the offense get it done like they did in the first two games against the Houston Astros? That's going to be the question. But I think I'm optimistic about this series for the Mariners. It's going to be fun to watch. I think they have a good chance to take this series against Kansas City. They won the series against Houston, the AL West leaders. If they can follow it up with another series win against Kansas City, that's pretty big and a step in the right direction. Hopefully we'll see you at Safeco Field tonight, 7:10, first pitch. Now we'll move on to the hitting coach for the Seattle Mariners. Big news over the weekend. Edgar Martinez named the hitting coach for the Seattle Mariners. Here's Jack Sorensic talking about the move.
Our relationship with Edgar over the years, I think his resume speaks for itself. I have personally talked to Edgar on many occasions about what he eventually wanted to do. He's been with us for several years in spring training as kind of as a guest instructor. This past year, he let it be known that this is something that I think is closer to becoming a reality for him to become a major league hitting coach than at any point in time in the past. And he's engaged with us this year, working with our minor leaguers, spending a lot of time in our minor league system. And over the last few days, I've had discussions with Edgar about this, and it seems like the right thing to do. Again, here's a guy that, you know, we all know how he became the hitter that he became, the things that he did to become, what in our view, a Hall of Famer. And as a result, we hope he brings that to the table. We're very confident that the things that Edgar will speak to our players about and bring to the table will be a real positive impact on us.
And here's Lloyd McClendon on Edgar Martinez as the hitting coach.
You've signed Edgar Martinez to become the new hitting coach here with the Mariners. Tell us a little bit about the decision to bring Edgar at this point into the season.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously we're not swinging the bats and the way we're capable of swinging it. And this wasn't, it wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. I think this, you know, we haven't swung the bats for the good parts of a season and a half. And it was a tough, very tough decision because I consider Ojo a very good friend of mine. You know, we developed a relationship over the last 2 years where you work closely with somebody and you care about them and their families. But at the same time, I have a responsibility to this organization to do what I think is best to help us moving forward. and the conversations that I've had with Edgar in the past on hitting, his philosophies, you know, how he goes about his business, I was very intrigued, and I just felt at this particular time it was the right thing to do.
Toughest job in baseball is the seat you're sitting in right now. I think maybe the second toughest job on any coaching staff is that of the hitting coach. I mean, you're here early, you're here late. What, and you've been in that situation about 8 years with the Detroit Tigers. What kind of advice are you going to give Edgar to take over this role at this juncture of the season?
Well, I told him, I said, look, you know, I want to make sure you understand what you're getting into. You know, other than the manager, it's probably the toughest job in all of baseball. You never have a good day. You long hours. You eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the cage. And I think he's up for the challenge. He's excited about the opportunity to help these young kids, and I'm really extremely happy to have him.
What did you see in Edgar the short time he was down at spring training that convinced you and Jack that he could handle this responsibility?
Well, I mean, first and foremost was his passion for the game of baseball and his passion for hitting, the way he interacted with the young players down there, to see the light come on in their eyes when he spoke, and the passion that he spoke with and his philosophies on hitting and how he goes about his business, I thought was very intriguing. And, you know, I thought it was something that we could certainly use at this level.
It's going to be interesting to see Edgar pull on number 11 one more time after a great career as an outstanding player and a designated hitter.
Yeah, you know, I was laughing with him. I said, you know, you're now working for me. I'm going to have to take that picture off my wall.
So, wow.
Yeah. We had a good chuckle, but I'm not sure if he's going to wear the jersey. My understanding is he's a lot like me. We don't wear jerseys, but we'll see.
Well, I'll tell you what, big news here with the ball club. Yeah, it's a great picture of Edgar. You had number 11 right there on your wall.
Quick reaction from a player. Here's Willie Bloomquist on the move.
Edgar coming in is obviously a huge presence around here in Seattle. You know, his accolades speak for themselves. He's, he obviously helped me a lot when I was a player, and I think guys will certainly pay attention to what he says. And, obviously on this side of the coin, we're very excited to have someone of his caliber, you know, come in and hopefully show us a few new things and hopefully get us off and rolling.
And someone who knows him very, very well. Here's Rick Riz and Mike Blowers talking about it.
Edgar Martinez takes over as the hitting coach. What went through your mind when you first found out about the change?
I think the first thing that went through my mind was I felt badly for Howard Johnson. We're with the club every day, and I know how much work he put into this thing and how hard he worked at it and how dedicated he was to the guys. And, you know, to see him go is really unfortunate. But, you know, that's the nature of this game. If the players don't perform, you can't fire all the players, so it's going to be on the coach. And today it was Howard, and I think that's going to be a pretty good wake-up call to the guys in the clubhouse, too, because I'm sure that they felt badly of that situation because they're the ones that are in control of it. But getting on to Edgar, I think if they needed to make a change, I can't think of anybody that would be any better than Gar to go down there and try to help these guys out. And I say that because there are plenty of examples of guys that were very good major league hitters, right, but are not good coaches. The thing I know about Edgar is while he was being the best right-handed hitter in the game, he was also a very good coach to his teammates. He's somebody that I would go to as a player. And the hardest thing, I think, Rick, for players that have had a lot of success, which Edgar has, is can they look at somebody different with a different skill set and understand that that person is not them, and what can I do to help them with the skill set that they have? And Edgar is excellent at that. Timing sometimes works out, and I had an opportunity to interview Edgar 2 days ago. And after the interview was over, I thought about it a lot, and I walked away from it thinking, this is somebody that really gets it, has a real good understanding of it. I think he's going to try to keep things as simple as possible for the guys and not overload them. Even though he'll be into all of the numbers, he's super bright and he likes all that stuff. I think that he will keep it as simple as he can for those guys. And I think the other part of it is because I know the player he was and what went into his job every day, he's going to be extremely demanding that they put in the effort.
He's going to come into this thing with his eyes wide open and take a look at every guy, evaluate, and go from there. You guys worked with a great hitting coach in Lee Elia. Everybody has a focal point where they can say, okay, I can learn from this guy, and he did. How much do you think is that going to help him on the coaching side of what's in front of Edgar right now?
Well, I think it'll help. I think Lee had an influence on Edgar, and I know that one of the things Edgar appreciated about Lee, just as myself, is this is a hard game. You're going to fail a lot in this game. And Lee had a way of staying positive and making you feel that you were going to come out of whatever slump or issue you were having. And that's a hard thing because, again, his job is connected to all of us and our success in a funny kind of way. And when things aren't going well, I think it's real easy to point and to tear down and to pick apart, where Lee was always very positive about things. And I think that is something that Edgar will be too. And I know that's part of Edgar's personality, to really concentrate on the strengths of somebody and make those things better and not be so concerned about a few weaknesses they may have. Yeah. And I think that will be a real strength from Edgar, and I think that Lee Elia is a big influence on that.
Our best to Howard Johnson, our best to Edgar Martinez as he begins a new and different journey in his baseball career. Blow, thank you.
Yeah, Rick, and let me just say this. It's going to take some time.
Yeah.
I know that Edgar is great and people are going to be excited about it, but this is something that's going to take some time. Don't expect things right away.
So, again, we'll have more to come this week. A great conversation coming up too, Mike Blowers and Edgar Martinez, that I think you'll really enjoy. That'll be later this week in the podcast. Right now, though, it's time for Bullpen Banter. Let's hand it over to Charlie Furbush.
Hey, we're back again with another cool, awesome edition of Bullpen Banter. I'm Charlie Furbush, the host of this ridiculously awesome show that everyone seems to be listening to these days. And today my special guest is one of the coolest guys I know, our chef, Chef Jeremy. How are you, man?
I'm very well. Thank you, Charlie.
I got to give a shout out to your catering biz, the Rain City Catering. Is that what it is?
That's it, Rain City Catering.
That's right. So anyone that needs some food, you better go Google that. He makes the best food around. Get into catering first. You get into cooking with the Mariners first. What made you go on the food route?
Man, I actually was going to try to be a mechanic, and then I jacked up a car one time and it fell, and my dad threw a screwdriver at me. So that day I went and got a job as a dishwasher at the Blue Max. It was funny because, the cooks over there, they were always like, hey, come over and help do fries, you know. So then I thought that was so cool, and I kind of moved up the ranks there. Then people were saying, hey, you're kind of good at this. You should stick with it. Then I became a huge Mariner fan in 95, snuck my way into the kitchen, and boom, been there ever since.
That's pretty awesome, man. You mentioned dishwashing. I was a dishwasher once. And I mean, I was a garbage man once too. So I mean, I've worked a variety of jobs, but I tell you, man, dishwashing that's a tough gig, man. It really is a tough gig. It's being solo back there, just hot and cold, dirty dishes, food you kind of want to eat sometimes. Yeah. You're hungry. Crazy things that go through your mind, right?
Oh, it's just, man, exactly. Especially now, because in the way it's different in the locker room, because we actually prepare the food, you know. So I plan the food, I order it, I marinate it, you cook it. And then you'd be like, man, this guy, he only ate half a steak, and you got to throw it away because I'm doing the dishes as well. But, you know, you look at it differently. But, you know, actually, I enjoy doing the dishes now because you kind of get to a point in your career where it's kind of mindless. You just get back there and do your thing. I have a helper who comes and helps me, Arnell. Give it up for Arnell for helping.
Arnell helping up. That's you love it, man. You need it. We just recently have a new coach on staff, which was a former player, which I'm sure you've made food for a time or two. Yeah. Edgar Martinez, for all those who didn't know that, that's who I'm talking about. I want to know what he used to eat back in the day that made him such a good hitter. Maybe we could reincarnate all the food, make that food again for all hitters now. Maybe some crazy things will happen.
Man, that is a great question. You know what? My very first day here, 1999, opening day, I'm here really early. Edgar Martinez walks in and says, hey, please, can you make me some pasta, you know? And so I was just so excited to even just see him.
Yeah.
I mean, I was like shaking, and I threw together this roasted garlic tomato cream pasta. Wasn't the healthiest thing, but he was really hungry, and he, he crushed a whole plate of that, and that kind of became his deal. And I serve it for you guys, you know, here and there, but you know, we got the nutritionist thing going on, but we got to keep it healthy.
And speaking of, I know that's definitely changed. I'm sure nutritionist comes in and tries to make us all eat really, really healthy food.
It's kind of funny how things have changed, because when I started, you know, BP looked kind of like 7-Eleven down there. We had JoJo's and pretzel machines and hot dog rollers and all this candy, and you know, now everybody's all on the health kick.
Yeah, I mean, long season, we got to keep our bodies fueled with premium fuel. You make the best premium fuel around. Yeah, you also have another guy, Mike, back there. How long has he been working with you?
So Mike has been with me off and on for many years. He's also my brother-in-law, which, you know, that's also good because there's a lot of family love going on back there. But Mike has been with me for the last 3 years. He was on the visiting side, and then I pulled him back over because he was just doing such a great job on that side. I'm like, we need him over here. Yeah, Mike pretty much saves the day. He pulls me through the craziness.
Who is requesting some food that you just don't really make ever?
Oh man, it's got to be the Latin guys. You know, I love those guys. You know, I'm half Latino myself. The Latin guys, are the hardest to please, I guess. But you know, they actually have a chef who helps me out a little bit too. So that's all good.
What's it like going in the King's Court? I saw you in the King's Court the other night. I mean, I don't even know where you get that chef hat. Is there like a chef hat store? Is that you just go online and get that? I think it's awesome. But big old turkey leg gave it to the little kid. I thought he was gonna drop it. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, you know what? The King's Court is absolutely awesome. And that's the one thing. I've been with the Mariners since 1999, and I miss coming to a game, actually buying a ticket, because I would be sitting out there. And the fun part is, you know, you got 1,000 people all yelling, you know, people getting mad at you saying, yeah, I've been a season ticket holder. I want that turkey leg right now. And, you know, and it's just the best feeling ever. You know, they always tell me who I'm supposed to give it to. You know, right in the heat of the moment, I'll see somebody like the little kid and I'll be like, I'm giving it to him. You know,
throw a curveball in there. All right. Yeah. So what's your go-to jam?
You know, I grew up listening to hip-hop, so I was hoping that somebody would start like a rap-y-okey because I'm really good with the hip-hop lyrics. But
I think we were onto something.
Yeah, that could be something new. You know, I'm going to have to go old school, do some Earth, Wind & Fire or something like that.
Well, all right. Well, I mean, can you give me an example? Can you fire me up a little, maybe a lyric from the song or you want to serenade the fans with?
Okay, I'll give you a little bit of...
A little bit.
Reasons, the reasons why we're here, all the reasons why.
That was good. I'd like to see that. Maybe sing it with you. If I knew the words, I mean, if there was a teleprompter screen here, I would have nailed it with you, no doubt in my mind. But yeah, that's great. Jeremy, here in the house, another edition of Bullpen Banter, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
That's it. We'll see you guys next week.
And finally, the week that was the Chewbacca edition. Here it is.
This is the week that was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners' past week.
On Mariners Magazine.
If you're going to San Francisco.
The 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Strike three, a fastball from Taiwan Walker. That is strikeout number four for Walker. And it's a 1-2-3 bottom of the fifth inning for the Giants. Walker has retired the last nine Giant hitters in a row. Here's the next offer. Swing and a well-hit ball deep to right center field. This one is going and going. Goodbye, baseball. Into the bleachers over the tall wall in right center field. Kyle Seager with his 11th home run of the year.
I challenge you to a duel.
The 2-2 to Buster Posey. Swing and a one-hopper right back to the mound. Taken by Felix. Runs to first. The underhand toss to Morrison in time to get Posey. And that will end the top of the eighth inning. Holy smokes, Felix. The King has once again made Safeco Field his personal palace. Through eight innings, he's got the Giants shutout.
The pitch. Swinging a high fly, drifting to the gap in right center field. Pagan moving over. He's to the warning track, and he doesn't make the catch. He went for a hip-high basket catch. Couldn't make it. Here comes Zunino. He steams at third. The throw home. The tag applied. He's safe. In at third base, Austin Jackson. The Mariners grab a run off of Madison Bumgarner, who looked like a Greek god through the first five innings.
The set by Smith. He's ready. And the 2-2 slider. Swing and a miss. Strike three, and it's over. The Mariners shut out the San Francisco Giants. 2-0 tonight here at Safeco Field. Felix Hernandez with his 10th win on the year.
You didn't have a ticket for this one. You missed the dandy. It was just a tremendous matchup. Both pitchers were just outstanding. I keep running out of words to describe this guy. Just, you know, when we're on the edge and need that victory, he just seems to find it somewhere, you know. It's just a tremendous outing.
Elias ready, the windup, and again the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss at a breaking ball, strike three. That's 12 in a row. Retired by Elias, and it's strikeout number 7.
Houston, we have a problem.
The 1-2 pitch from Elias. Breaking ball, swung on and missed. Strikeout number 10. Rowan, it's Elias with a beautiful curveball to get Santana. Struck him out for the second time.
The 3-2 to Rasmus, and it's strike three called. And on Star Wars night, may the force be with you. The Mariners win it 5-2 over the Houston Astros to take game one of the three-game series.
Remember, the force will be with you always.
Our relationship with Edgar over the years, I think his resume speaks for itself. I have personally talked to Edgar on many occasions about what he eventually wanted to do. He's been with us for several years in spring training as kind of as a guest instructor. This past year, he let it be known that this is something that I think is closer to becoming a reality for him to become a major league hitting coach than at any point in time in the past.
Swing and a drive deep to straightaway center field. Rasmus going back, looking up. Goodbye, baseball! Seth Smith with his sixth home run of the year. Straightaway center. Mariners' second home run of the night. Holy smokes, and it's now the Mariners 4 and the Astros 2. How about that? The next offer on the way. Swing and a miss and a fastball, strike 3. And there it is, strikeout number 9, a new career high for Taijuan Walker. 9 strikeouts in this ballgame.
Next pitch in there for a called strike 3. Taijuan Walker with his 11th strikeout. One out here in the 7th.
Swing and a ground ball to Morrison at first. He's got it. Underhand toss to Smith at the bag, and the ball game is over. The Mariners take 2 in a row from Houston, and they win it tonight. A final score of 6-3.